Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Giving Tuesday, and we are going to talk with one of the recipients, hopefully, that you're involved with for Giving Tuesday, Fairy Godmother Project, our focus, and Andy McConnell with us this morning. Andy, good morning. Glad to have you here.
Hi, Ted. Thanks for having me.
I was looking at your website the other day, and as I looked at recommendations, this really, for the first time, because you look at a lot of different websites and people will make recommendations. But three, four people had written things like, I can't tell you how much it means. Words can't explain. You will never know how much, ...
Yeah.
I thought that really explains, and that really a lot, that really tells the story of Fairy Godmother Project, because you're dealing with families dealing with pediatric cancer, and what you do, words can't explain, or you will never know how much. And I looked at that and I thought, you take a look at your Facebook page or your website and you see those kind of things and you just think, this is a good organization.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it is true. The family's response to our support is always so heartfelt, in preparation for Giving Tuesday. And then we're doing an actual full month of giving called the Month of Hope. I asked families if they'd be willing to do some quotes or even a video or something. And, then I get those backstories and I spend days crying, just so moved by their words and knowing that what we're doing is that much of an impact. I sent one of the videos yesterday to my staff, and one of the women wrote back and she said, we're doing good work.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, we really are doing good work. It really matters.
Because it's the kind of work, and I'm sure with any of the kind of things that you do, you don't realize day to day. You're doing things day to day, but all of a sudden you start to see things like that, and you do see the depth of what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think it's great. I think it's always kind of grounding for us to do that every now and again, just to remember that, some of the boring paperwork we're doing, or the things that aren't as like tangible or as hands-on with the families, that all of them are the pieces to this puzzle that really make a huge difference for these families. Even, one of the woman who does our books, she's our bookkeeper. She does everything. She's so good. But one of the things she said one time was how she looks at her job with so much, like, it's so important because if she gives something up, it could impact them. And, just the idea that everyone that is part of FGP is really invested, I think makes a difference and makes us who we are.
Well, and especially in a time like this, because everything has changed so much. And for nonprofits especially, a lot of fundraisers that you have planned, either they didn't take place, they're going to take place under different circumstances, or you just don't know. And so I'm glad that, Giving Tuesday is usually something that we associate with towards the end of the year and around Thanksgiving. It got moved this year, and that was a great move.
Yeah, I think so. And, they're talking about a lot of the pushes to give in some way to nonprofits that need it. And one of the things we're doing is each week we're doing a different focus to fund a different program, but then also starting today we're asking for donations of essential items for our families, because once again we've already done deliveries twice, but we're getting ready to do our third delivery of sprays and wipes and hand sanitizer and all of those necessities, because we don't want our families to have to go into the stores, and the items are virtually impossible to get even if you use like Instacart or one of those. So we want to be able to get those to the families so that they don't have to leave their homes.
We talked about that the last time you were on just a few weeks ago. And that is such a great thing, because you don't if you're one of those families, you really want to limit how much you're out, just because you've got a child with a very weakened immune system in your house.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I was thinking a lot over the last few weeks about, as a nonprofit, like you said, it's really impacting all of us. And, for us, there's a level of thinking about you know, our relevancy in the community and why are we important? You know, just asking myself those questions. And I started to really think about how, you know, we're all facing this with COVID and, you know, the government stepped in and helped in so many ways with the stimulus checks and with the PPP and small business, all that stuff. And because suddenly people can't work. And that happens to our families a lot of times because someone has to stay home with the child because they can't be going to school because of their immune system. Mm-hmm. But they don't get a stimulus check when it happens. And they don't necessarily get help with their small business because it's not relevant to anyone else. It's just their small existence. And so, you know, a lot of us have been handed a lifeline during this, and these families were the lifeline for that when they get the diagnosis. You know, and we're the ones that show up and keep showing up. And when COVID is over and we're all back and hopefully our economy is back and we're, you know, back to work and all those things, a lot of our families still won't be.
Right. Yeah. No, that's that is really a great analogy.
Yeah. And so it's so important, I think, that for us that we can be that stability. You know, I mean, that's really where it sort of falls is, for a lot of the families, obviously, a diagnosis brings instability, like just like we're all facing, a lot of unknowns and all those things. But if we can provide a sense of stability for them, we did before COVID and we will after COVID, but we need to be able to be funded in order to do that.
And as for Giving Tuesday comes in, is the best way, if someone wants to get involved with Fairy Godmother Project today, just to go to the website or the Facebook page?
Yeah, both. And we'll be doing stuff on Instagram, too. We have an event that we have like a week-long event for our first week, which our first goal is to raise enough money to add 2 months of support groups because the families have expressed that they would like the support groups. Normally, we would stop them, kind of give them the summer off. But because of COVID and the need for a little bit more support, we are continuing them and doing them in July and August. And because of that, you know, that's funding that we didn't budget for. Well, so we're hoping to fund that.
As you described, you know, just a second ago and talked about how this is what families dealing with pediatric cancer, that was really a great analogy because when so many of us now we're all supposed to be just isolating ourselves. And that really is what happens. In a lot of time, or all the time when you're dealing with this, because you've especially if you've got other kids, you've got, you know, you're here, you're, you know, at a hospital and you mm-hmm. can't have people around. So that is really an interesting analogy. And, you know, like you say, the COVID, well, this is going to end sometime, but for families involved with pediatric cancer, it's a lifetime thing.
Right. Because, and even when they're done with treatment,
yeah,
typically the child's immune system doesn't come back for about 2 full years, they say. So, you know, in a lot of our families, their child's in treatment for 3 years. And it's 3 years of unknowns. And then on top of that, another 2. And, you know, they have to ease them back into school. I mean, so much of it is like everything that is being planned right now for our community is how these families actually live. It's just that it's not being decided for them. They have to make all these big decisions themselves.
FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. You can also go to Facebook or Instagram and find Fairy Godmother Project and get involved today with Giving Tuesday. Andy McConnell is here. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about some of the programs that they need funding for and that we can provide the funding today on Giving Tuesday. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell here this morning. The Fairy Godmother Project, our focus, and today also is Giving Tuesday. Fairy Godmother Project. .org is the website, and you will find out all kinds of information about the different programs. You mentioned just a second ago, Andy, about the Month of Hope that has started and that will go on for the next month. Talk about that and what you're doing, because that's also another way to kind of emphasize what you do and just some of the different programs you have and also funding for those programs.
Yeah, and the reason we did a month, to be honest, is because of what everything happening. So I was, you know, I was a little bit apprehensive, and maybe I shouldn't admit this as a fundraiser and executive director, but I'm a little bit nervous about saying to the public, come on, I need your money. Do you know what I mean? Like, we need this right now with everything that everyone else is facing. And so I thought, well, if we spread it over the course of a month, that gives people time to be a little bit more, like they might get paid around the 15th and be able to make a donation then. Or, you know, I thought maybe it would spread it out for people and not make them feel like they had to donate on one day. And so I was just trying to think about that when I made the decision to do it, because we normally have a day of giving in June. This is June 5th. And we typically raise between $25,000 and $30,000 in a day. And it's a great day. It's really fun. But I thought this might be a better way to just for everybody in the community who does support us, but who might not be in a position where June 5th is the best day for them to donate.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, go and look. It's really worth your while to go to fairygodmotherproject.org and especially to look at the different areas that you're involved in, because boy, you deal with, you deal with so many things, and it's just interesting to watch of how it keeps you keep adding to it each year.
Yeah, we do, and we try, and the thing that we really try to do is listen to our families and say to them, what is it you, and then go from there. And last year we implemented support groups based on what we had been told was needed, and we do them for our survivor and remission families as well as for our bereaved families. And we're actually looking at starting one this summer for our current families. We've never been able to do it for the current families because it's too hard for them to get out of the house, interestingly. And now that everything's online, it's much more doable for them. It's a better option. And so we're getting ready to, that's one of the things that this week's goal would go towards, would be funding that as well. So we started those last year, and the feedback from the families has been really, really helpful and great. I mean, they are really enjoying the opportunity to connect with other people who simply get it.
And there is something about talking to somebody who gets it, who's gone through it. I don't know how to describe it, but when you run into those people that have a similar story of yours, and it's just funny, you can have totally different stories, but there's some point where all the stories kind of connect.
Right, there's some commonality to it, and you can relate in a really unique way. And even, you know, I've seen so many families go through this since we started the organization. But I still don't necessarily get it. I mean, I do, but I don't, because I've not been there. And so I can imagine the depth of the worry and the panic over the fact that your child has cancer, but I don't really know. I mean, I can empathize, I can try to relate, but I don't know. And so there's real benefit in being able to put people together who do know.
Yeah.
And same thing with for our families who've had a child die. The benefit of them being able to be together. And one of the moms said, you know, feeling like she could be in a space where she wasn't being judged for what her grief was, and that she could just, her grief could just be what it was, which is, you know, hard. And some days she has good days, some days she has terrible days. And the ability to express that to her, this circle of people, is really helping her with her grief.
We are talking about the Fair Godmother Project this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Andy McConnell here. Today is Giving Tuesday. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. Even though you haven't in your own life personally dealt with it, you sure have been. You've had a lot of close friends, and you've seen a lot of things up close, though, Andy. That really makes you this. Over the years, it always was very personal, but you have seen some things up close that a lot of us never have seen.
Yes, definitely. And I've learned so much, but what I've learned more and more is I really don't know much.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, every time I think, like, all right, I've got a handle on what every diagnosis is, because surely we've seen every kind of pediatric cancer at this point, we get new diagnoses. I'm like, what in the world is that? And then, you know, like I have a general idea of how long treatment lasts for different things, but treatments shift and change, and nobody's telling me because I'm not a doctor. So, you know, it's a constant learning. I guess at the root of it, any of these parents really need is for us to show up in whatever way it is they want. Whether that means simply all we do is send them gift cards monthly and that's the amount of support they need, or if it means they want support groups, or if it means they need someone to check on them more regularly. You know, we just try and make sure that we meet those needs accordingly.
Talk a little bit about the start of Fairy Godmother Project and how you got going.
Okay, well, so in 2009, I was in a twin mom group. And I'm a mom. I think I'd met her once, but it was talked about within the group that her daughter had been diagnosed with a rare form of cancer that she did ultimately beat. And I just decided to help. At the time, and, you know, shortly after, many people would say how selfless I was for helping, but I really wasn't. I really was sort of drowning at home with two small children. I had three small children, twins that were at that point two, and then a four-year-old.
Yeah.
My now ex-husband was deployed. I mean, I was drowning. And I knew that I needed something outside of myself because I was kind of having a little bit of a pity party. And so I offered to help this family, and I started doing fundraising for them and kind of just became the person that this mom would reach out to after an MRI or after a hard day at treatment. But she didn't know me. And so the whole organization sort of modeled after that, where providing each family with somebody that's essentially a stranger to them, but who can be their support person, who can check on them and ask how the MRI went or ask how treatment's going or see what else they need. Without any need for, you know, I think lots of times when a friend checks in, we worry sort of about the friend, you know, like, can the friend handle this news?
Right.
But when you have a stranger checking in and their only reason for checking in is purely because they're checking on how this is progressing, I think it shifts the dynamic in a way that's really important for these families, so they have this outside person that they can rely on if they need to.
Where did the name come from?
The mom of the child that we helped, she had said to me one day, would you be my girl's fairy godmother? And this is before I, you know, imagined doing this. And then I had a conversation with my ex-husband, and I said, you know, maybe this is needed and in this community. And so I surveyed people and found that it was. And so I thought, well, we could just call it Fairy Godmother Project. And the rest is history. So that was in 2010, I guess, when she asked if I would be her daughter's fairy godmother. And then we kind of started getting our feet wet in 2011, just sort of checking out, like, you know, helping people, but not really. And then it kind of took off in the end of 2011 and into 2012.
Well, and it really is needed and has always been needed in this community. And just the fact that you really focus on the families. Mm-hmm. And what they need and how they can be helped, because just so often families just feel overwhelmed when you're in something like this, especially in the early days, but all along, because I don't know that it ever does. I mean, I don't know that it gets easier, but you sort of get used to a routine, but that still doesn't mean it's easier.
Yeah, and it's really isolating for the families. And again, like, there's so many parallels to what we're all facing right now.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of loneliness in this space, or at least I'm a little lonely. And it means so much when someone checks in with me, a friend, or I know it means a lot if I check in with someone else to say, how are you doing? And so having people that are, like, designated to do that for the family is really important, because it sends a message that, you know, you're not forgotten about. Like, even though you're isolated in your house and you're, you know, dealing with so much stress and all these things, there are people that care. And I think that's always sort of been the thing that keeps popping up with Fairy Godmother Project, is that there's people that care, but for the most part, they're strangers. And there's real power in that, and knowing that, like, these people, these volunteers, are not getting a relationship out of this necessarily, and they don't know the families. They drop things off at the house, and they've never even met them. They don't even know who lives in the house. They don't even really know the family story or the child story, and yet they still want to help. And that, to me, has always been just so unbelievably inspiring, that we have all these volunteers who give to people they don't even know and who they probably never will know.
How many volunteers do you have right now? Do you know offhand?
Over 100. And then we have photography volunteers as well. But our photography program is currently on hold, unfortunately, because of COVID.
Right. Yeah. Boy, but I would not have guessed that much. I mean, I've always just thought, oh, maybe, you know, 10 or 20 volunteers. That's a pretty remarkable number, and shows a caring community.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm amazed by our volunteers, and they want to do things. Like, I put together something, a volunteer opportunity to do from home, and you have to be tech savvy to do it. And so one of our volunteers responded to the ask, and she's like, I'm not tech savvy, so I can't do it, but please tell me what I can do.
Huh.
And just the idea that, you know, I mean, I think it makes you feel good when you are facing something that's hard, because this is all unknown, and it, you know, people are getting tired of being isolated and then, you know, social distancing and all that. But I think when you can give back somehow to other people, I do think that makes you feel better. We've been trying to keep our volunteers engaged with different activities. Like last week we had an online scavenger hunt with the volunteers and their families if they wanted to participate through a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. And we also did that with our families. We invited our families to do that as well. But just trying to keep them engaged and give them opportunities to volunteer, but also, you know, check on them, because they're an important part of our organization and of the community that we've created through Fairy Godmother Project. And so just trying to, you know, make sure that they're also doing okay as they face the everything that we're facing in our community.
When we come back, we'll talk more about being a volunteer, some of the training that you get, and some of the different areas where you need volunteers these days. We'll do that when we come back. Andy McConnell, Fairy Godmother Project, here this morning. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. This is Giving Tuesday. Go to that website today and give and encourage others to do it too. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell here with the Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. This is Giving Tuesday. If someone does want to become a volunteer, one of the things, Andy, that you all do really well is plugging people into where they're going to feel most comfortable. And just talk about some of the areas where you do have some needs for volunteers these days.
Well, one of the great things that, of course, we had no idea this would happen, but we moved our volunteer training to online. In January, we just made the decision to like create a video that people could watch from their homes, because we were finding that we had people that worked but still wanted to be able to volunteer. And so trying to figure out when to, kind of host the volunteer trainings was always an issue, because it would always conflict with someone's schedule and all that kind of stuff. So we put it online. So it's about an hour long, not just shy of an hour long video that tells all about what we do. And then you fill out a quiz to make sure that you watch the video. and there's an application and everything. And so we really do try to put people where their skills are. We don't want someone to dislike volunteering, obviously. And so we try and make sure that if there's something that someone's good at or a skill that they have, that they can use that to benefit not just our organization, but them. Because I think we always feel better when we're doing something that we're good at. So now the main way that we're using our volunteers is for deliveries. We have done 3 deliveries. We've done 2 deliveries of like essential items that were donated by different people in the community, which has been wonderful. And then we do crafts for the families. We do like a themed craft that goes to them. There's one per child with all the supplies that they need to do the different crafts. So we had volunteers deliver the crafts last week, I believe it was. So the way that we do it, it's all, you know, social distancing. One of my neighbors very generously made masks. So everyone that made deliveries got to have a mask, which one of my volunteers reached back out to me and was like, that meant so much to me. And it's funny, it's just those little things, right?
Yeah.
Like, I thought, well, if I'm going to tell them they need to have a mask when they deliver, I can't not provide them with one. And then we actually got more. There were so many donated to Mary Washington Healthcare that they kind of put it out into the community that if there were any community organizations that needed masks, and one of our volunteers worked for them and reached out, and so we have 10 more masks that we got that I'll be able to give to the next round of volunteers that make deliveries for us. So the deliveries are super important for us right now. And then also online volunteer opportunities, and then also from home ones. So we always do, we always write handwritten thank you cards. It's one of my favorite things to do. And so we have volunteers that have signed up to help with that for the month of hope. And then we also have other opportunities, so, like kind of boring stuff to me, but not boring stuff to everybody. You know, like, we have how-tos as an organization, like all of our policies and procedures, so we always need those audited, and we usually use volunteers to just read them from home, make sure they make sense, mm-hmm. try the links to see if the links work, all those things. And right now that's especially important because if one of our staff gets COVID and is unable to work for any period of time, we need to make sure that their job can still be done even without them.
So lots of opportunities, and just go to fairygodmotherproject.org. There is there's a spot there for volunteers. And yep. And get plugged in.
Yes, absolutely. And once all this kind of eases, I mean, we're still trying to sort through what it's going to look like for us. You know, will we? How long will we continue support groups online? Maybe having them online is actually the way to go. You know, just kind of determining all those different things, and whether or not we need to move some of our other volunteer trainings to an online format so that they can be done from home. So just some decisions that we'll be making, just like every other nonprofit and business in the community, trying to figure out and navigate what this means for them in the future, and what things will have to change to be able to continue to work. So,
well, when this all started, and you know, I guess since March when this started, and now you really have been one of the more nimble groups around town because you really have made some big changes.
Yeah, and one of the pretty flexible in general, which I think is probably helpful, and my staff is too. I think they would, just like me, we'd love to be back at the office all together. That's been really hard. We're starting our eighth week. This is our eighth week home. Hmm. But we've been able to transition most things to online. We did have to stop our photography program, which is too bad because it's a really important piece, but we will be able to reinstate that. Our photography director is actually working on what the policies will be once we reinstate it, and then also looking at when, in what phase would we reinstate it. And then also, lots of different things. Like now we have to really look at liability, so we have to develop a liability agreement for not just the photographer but also for the families because it's just a different world now for us. We also had to stop our meal making program, which normally is done at a church and brings a whole group of people together to make the meals. And then the meals are frozen and delivered to the families to be cooked in the crock pot. Mm-hmm. And so we had to stop that back in March, unfortunately. But we just shifted what type of support they got instead. So they got a little extra, they get a little extra grocery gift cards to help.
Andy McConnell here with the Fairy Godmother Project on News Talk 1230 WFVA. So if I give today, I'm giving Tuesday, or really for any time, but even for the next month with the mm-hmm. with the Month of Hope. Talk about some areas where you have needs, and talk about just, you know, how my money is used.
So this week, well, it's not a full week. It's actually May 5th to May 9th. We're trying to get funding two extra groups. Or two extra months of support groups. So the total we're trying to raise just this week is $930.
Okay.
And then starting May 10th, we are trying to fund gas cards for five families for a month. And so that week is, the exact amount is $1,499.93, but we're rounding it up to $1,500. And then the following week, we are trying to raise money for, so back to the guest cards, just want to add this, even though most of us are sitting at home, our families are still going to and from treatment.
Right.
So they still need assistance with the gas, even though gas doesn't cost as much and everything. I mean, some of our families, you know, at the beginning of treatment, lots of times families are going to the hospital a few times a week, if not 5 days a week, sometimes for radiation. They're there for like 10 days straight. I mean, it's, you know, we have a family that's getting ready to do a bone marrow transplant. So they're headed down for treatment, you know, so like there's so many different things going on. So their treatment hasn't stopped, you know, so they still need the supports that we provide, like the gas cards. And then May 17th through the 23rd, our goal is to fund the bereavement retreat for 6 families. And that's $2,172. And that retreat, we do it every year. This year, we did it at in Massanutten, and we rented houses for the families to stay in together. And then they got to choose whatever activity they wanted to do at Massanutten. And we provided dinner one night, and they just got to be together. And they all really talk about the value of that for them as families. You know, it gives them opportunity to be together as a family unit and then also with other people who understand where they're coming from.
What a special thing. I mean, that's the kind of thing that they can really help with the healing process, I would think.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it gives them perspective that they're not alone. Hmm. I think that's the part that sort of, you know, what I think happens often in grief, and this is just my observation, but I think that the people closest to you who aren't the ones that are grieving the loss of the child too, you know, they miss the child, but it's not the sibling or they get impatient with the process in some ways. Like, isn't it time to move on? Ooh, you're still crying about this? Like, let's go.
Right.
Look at, you have so much goodness in your life. You have so much joy. And when they all come together, nobody's doing that. No one's impatient with their grief.
Yeah.
Instead, they're like, oh, yeah, I felt that way last week. And it's validating, and it's really beneficial. And one of my favorite things I observed the first year we did it, and I was like during the retreat texting my board saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for letting me do this and believing in my mission. And my vision for this, like, I was sitting next to two dads, and they were talking about their daughters, and they were talking about, you know, like, the whole time their daughter's going through treatment and about losing their daughters, and knowing these two dads were connecting, because women are much more, have a much more tendency to open up and share, and that was just so impactful. I thought, this matters that we're doing this for these families, and not every family takes us up on it, not every family wants that connection. But those that do get so much out of it.
Oh, I bet. I bet. And just the whole, like you say, that, you know, the kind of either get over it or just having to deal with just some of the really stupid questions or comments that you have to hear from people. And I think so many families have to deal with that, and you just have to let it go, but it still bothers you.
Right. And the thing that I observed is that when they're together, they can move so easily through their own emotions in a way that probably in another social setting they couldn't.
Yeah.
Because if one falls apart, nobody's like, oh, here she goes again, or here he goes again. You know, they're like, yeah, I get it.
Yep.
And so they can share and they can talk about their child too. And that's the other thing is that, you know, they all are trying to learn more about each other's children, which is really cool to see. And it's, I think it helps. It helps them to know that one more person cares. And now they have this whole group of people that care about their child.
Yeah, there's that. And I think even in just to know, like you say, that you've got another family that's gone through it. And also that you're from this area. There's just something about that, you know, I'm not alone in my area because, you know, I have these other friends that know just what I feel.
Yes, exactly. Yep. I mean, it's been interesting to watch it. It's been wonderful to see the connections between the families develop, and even some of the kids really connect. The younger kids, look forward to seeing each other year after year at the retreat, which is awesome. And then the last thing is a longer. It's almost 2 weeks. May 24th through June 5th, we want to fund grocery cards for 3 months. And that's actually kind of a lot of money compared to our other goals, but it's $17,364. So we're hoping that we can, reach our goal. We usually do. Okay, we always do. So I'm just hopeful that we'll be able to do that this time too.
Yeah. No, and that's why it's important to get involved and to show your support, not only in Giving Tuesday and for what you've got going on, the month of hope. And I look at the gift cards and the gas cards are just something you don't have to think about. You just,
right.
You've got them. You can go and use them, and it's an in and out kind of thing. It's taken care of. To a lot of us, it looks small, but when you need something like that, wow, it's just nice to have it.
It is, and like I mentioned at the beginning, some of these families are impacted financially,
yeah,
because they've had to cut back on hours or they've had to stay home because their child can't go to school anymore. And so, any bit of financial support that we can provide is really important. In June, we pay bills in June for the family. So they provide us with the bill and we pay it directly to the biller, which is always very helpful. And I'm sure, especially with everything going on right now, that'll be very helpful to them. And then we do that again in December, too. So just really important, I think, that they know that we're kind of a constant for them and that we're not going anywhere. And that's kind of one of the important parts of it.
And I think today Giving Tuesday is just, it's a good reminder that there are so many needs in the community, and we have focused on so many other things over the last few months. And I think it's good to come around and look at something like the Fairy Godmother Project and to say, we still want you. You're needed in this community just as much as other components, and that's what Giving Tuesday is all about. And hopefully you'll go to fairygodmotherproject.org, look at the opportunities, and get involved.
Yeah, we'd love it, definitely.
Andy McConnell here, fairygodmotherproject.org again is the website. There's a Facebook page and an Instagram account too that you can follow along and see where you can fit in and get involved. We will wrap this up and talk again about Giving Tuesday when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell, Fairy Godmother Project, here this morning on Giving Tuesday. I'm glad we could do this on a day like this, Andy, because this really is important for you and nonprofits in the area. Just to focus that you do so much good. And again, to just kind of go back around when we did the show a few weeks ago, and we talked a long time about just delivering the cleaning supplies. To me, that is such a fantastic program that you're able to do to these families that just don't need to have people out and about and around germs these days.
Yeah, I mean, it really is helpful, and the families have really appreciated. I mean, the amount of stuff we've been able to take to them has been amazing. We're just waiting now to hear back from them on kind of what their order is, and then we'll put it out into the community. And we're hoping that we can get donations for this delivery, and then probably for the next as well.
It's all ongoing, and like we said, you've got opportunities for volunteers. There's opportunities to donate, to be a sponsor. There's just there all kinds of opportunities where whatever level you want to be at or what you can do, get involved with the Fairy Godmother Project, because unfortunately, if you don't yet, you will know at some point families that need this kind of help.
And, right. Yeah, we all eventually meet someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we, we do need, you said, sponsors, and we are still doing all of the events that we always have planned for 2020. They're just we're kind of making plans for what they look like this year, because it likely will be different than years past. But we definitely still need the support of those events and attendees and golfers. We moved our golf tournament to October 8th. And I've been really amazed by Lee's Hill and how they're planned for it and how it will work. They have a very set plan, which is amazing, totally following all the guidelines and no matter what is going on come October, we were told we will still do it following this format. So that kind of is a big relief for us. We don't have to figure out what that format looks like.
Yeah, yeah. So lot of opportunities. Check it out, fairygodmotherproject.org. Just so many needs in this area. And I think that was today when you talked about you've got about 100 volunteers. That's exciting. Yeah. That's exciting to know that there's that level and that amount of people want to do something and want to get involved. And like you say, a lot of times when you're a volunteer, you don't know a lot of the stories or the families, but it's that important to you that you want to do that.
Yeah, it's amazing to me, really. And we have volunteers that have been with us from the very beginning of the organization and are still engaged. Like when, our founding board members are still involved, which is awesome to me. And still very involved. One of them, Sue Ann Woltman, is one of our most engaged volunteers. And, she was on our founding board and she's still doing all kinds of volunteer jobs for us, which is amazing because she sees the need and she's seen it firsthand. So it makes a big difference.
It's Giving Tuesday, but this is really just this for the Fairy Godmother Project. This is just the start of the, of the month of hope and lots of opportunities to give and get involved.
Yes, and kind of designate where you want your dollars to go.
So again, it's a month of hope, and you can do things like you can help fund support groups, gas cards, bereavement, the bereavement retreat, and grocery cards. Is that it?
Grocery cards is a big one because we need those no matter what. So and it's a big expense monthly for us. So we definitely would love to be able to fund that for 3 months or maybe even 6 months. But we'll see. We'll start with three.
Yeah. Yeah. No, lots of needs. And unfortunately, pediatric cancer doesn't stop for viruses, and what you do carries on. So, well, thank you for what you do in the community.
Well,
and
thank you for having me.
Keep it up. Again, it's the start of the month of hope that goes on, and you can get involved in that. Giving Tuesday. Get involved today. FairyGodmotherProject.org. Check it out also and like it and follow it on Facebook. Andy McConnell, thank you. We will talk soon.
Okay, thanks, Ted.
That's it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening this morning. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.